arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am Al Corlin. Appreciate you joining me. I am chatting right now, starting our second segment where we deal with asset-based investing almost exclusively, chatting with James Turk right now. James is one of the foremost experts in the world on asset-based investing. I'd like you to learn a little bit about what James does. James, let's start out, if we can. Your career began how, and how did you end up into the gold market that you're in right now?
Yeah, well, my career started really with studying international economics at college. I'd always wanted to do that and to live and travel internationally and be involved in international banking and finance. I joined a New York bank when I graduated from school in the late 1960s and worked with them principally in Asia for most of the 1970s. And at that time, because of the monetary problems and inflation, I decided to go a different way and focus on gold, silver, and sound money.
Now, when you say you decided to focus on gold, silver, and sound money, specifically, James, what actions did you take?
Well, initially I was working in Greenwich, Connecticut in a fund management firm, but ultimately was hired by the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority to manage their precious metals portfolio. So I moved to the Middle East in the mid-1980s and lived there for several years. Before resigning, and since then I've been basically on my own. It's still in the same area, doing a lot of advisory work. And then, as you know, Al, in the late 1990s, I started putting together Gold Money, and we launched the company in 2001.
Now, when you say still in the same area, you mean your business was concentrated in the Middle East, or by the same area, do you mean basically precious metals and hard assets?
Yeah, basically precious metals and hard assets. After the Middle East, I'd moved to London.
Tell me a little bit about gold money.
Yeah, you know, gold money is a very convenient, economical, and most importantly, safe way to buy gold and silver online and have that precious metals that you own stored for you in different vaults at your choice, either in the UK, in Switzerland, or in Hong Kong, or any combination of those three.
Now, as I understand it, not only can people do, I guess I'd call this conventional investing in terms of gold and silver, but through your source or your facility, I guess I should say, and other facilities, gold and silver have now been approved by the U.S. government. Investing, I guess I should say, in gold and silver have been approved for retirement accounts. Am I correct?
Yes. There's a bank in the States called Entrust. And they open IRA accounts for individuals. They're an authorized IRA provider, and they have a facility to do IRA accounts in gold money on behalf of U.S. citizens.
I find it interesting that the federal government that basically took the U.S. off the gold standard back in the early 1970s under President Nixon, former President Nixon, I find it interesting that the U.S. government is now encouraging, for lack of better terms, people to put precious metals in their IRAs.
Yeah, they've allowed it, I think, for quite some time. I wouldn't go so far to say they're encouraging it because, you know, there are various things that are happening in the States with regard to changing rules and regulations that make it look like the U.S. is moving toward capital controls, which would restrict the freedom of Americans to do what they want with their money. You know, whether that happens or not as the financial situation is of the U.S. government changes or not, only time will tell. But, you know, the way I view gold is it's a form of savings. I think you should be accumulating it just like you would a savings account. But instead of saving dollars, which are being depreciated and debased, you're saving sound money, which is preserving purchasing power.
Well, there's no question about that. Now, James, your specialty is assisting people to invest in gold, okay? I would maintain, and I guess I'd like your opinion on this, but I think an alternative way, and I don't mean to not invest in precious metals, but I think an alternative way that one can take advantage of the resource market, specifically that sector of the market that's comprised of precious metals, is to purchase stocks in companies that are involved in exploration, production, what have you, of gold. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it makes sense for those people who are willing to take that type of risk. Remember, when you're looking at a portfolio, it has two different components. It has liquidity, which is the money component of your portfolio, and then it has investments. You know, money you don't want to take risks with. You want to have that purchasing power preserved until you're ready to use it to make an investment or to, you know, spend and purchase some, you know, consumer item. The investments are where you take your risk. So if you're prepared to take, you know, the risk in generating a return on your investment, then investments in stocks and other alternatives, you know, make sense. But gold goes in the money part of your portfolio. It's liquidity.
No question about that. Okay, I want to go back to something we talked about briefly in the early part of this segment, and that's your book, The Coming Collapse of the U.S. Dollar. Give me a bit of a summary of that book, would you? Because I think it succinctly describes why people should really take a look at alternative sources of investment.
Yeah, you know, we've abandoned the monetary provisions of the Constitution, which requires that the money of the United States shall be gold and silver coin. And, you know, and it was for the first 180 years. And while it wasn't perfect, it worked much better than the present system, where you have a lot of monetary excesses being created, a lot of debt being created, and other problems. The reason why the framers of the Constitution put those monetary provisions in is the first currency of the country called the Continental, it collapsed and it created a lot of economic problems. There was no discipline on the Continental Congress as to how much paper currency it could create or how many Continentals it could create. So they put Article 1, Section 8 and 10 in there to restrict the amount of money that the federal government could create. It had to be tied to gold and tied to silver. And what we did in 1971 is we eliminated that provision by executive order. President Nixon did it. And we have now the same types of problems that the framers of the Constitution faced with the Continental. There's too much borrowing by the government, which is being turned into debt. This debt is being turned into currency. And as a consequence, the currency is being debased. So, you know, as I see it, we have to go back to the wisdom of the framers of the Constitution, and the way to do that is to tie the dollar once again to gold or silver.
Well, you know, there are folks in recent administrations and the current administration who maintain that the Constitution is not a static document. They maintain that the Constitution is a dynamic document, a living and breathing document, and because of that, when necessity, you know, would suggest that we have to go off an asset-based currency, as an example, that's okay. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that. You know, to me, the important thing is the words as they stand. You know, let's look, for example, in the Constitution, the word year is used several times, and everybody understands that that means that, you know, the 365 days it takes the Earth to revolve around the sun. The word dollar is also used in the Constitution, and the framers understood that that's an unchanging unit of account. Just like a yard of cloth or a bushel of corn, those are unchanging units of account. They're not... a dollar is not a unit that the Federal Reserve can change at will according to political expediency.
You know, I find that to be amazing. It's interesting, but my family and I were back in Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, and we were in Congressman Ron Paul's office, and the congressman asked if we would like to go and meet Judge Andrew Napolitano, who was talking about his new book, Constitutional Crisis, and we of course accepted that invitation. And during the course of that conversation, it was amazing how my wife's eyes kept getting wider and wider and wider. She was under the impression that the Constitution basically charted the course of the United States, and as Judge Napolitano said at the time, that's really not the case anymore.
Yeah, the Constitution was meant to protect the people from the government, and the government's using it as a hammer to do whatever they want to the people. That's not correct.
No, that's pretty interesting. Okay, I want to wrap this up by saying, number one, we're not giving investment advice here. We're just giving you food for thought. We want you to think about what we're talking about. If you agree, take some action on your own. If you don't agree, that's fine. Call us crazy. Send us hate mail. Do whatever you want. But I have to tell you, we're in dangerous times right now. We are in trying times right now, and I think people have to do everything that they can to provide security for themselves and their families. Going to be right back.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Times are tough and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's DoobleyShoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. In our second hour, as you're aware, we deal with hard assets, and we deal with publicly traded companies that are involved in the hard asset industry. I am chatting right now, we're going to do this every week for a while, with a gentleman by the name of Richard Karn. Richard has a newsletter entitled the Emerging Trends Report. Richard is a very bright guy. He's a retired college professor. He is currently in Australia doing a major study on the mining industry in Australia. What's the relevance here? Well, the relevance here is that Australia is an incredibly active country in this industry, and we're going to learn more about it. I'll be learning here just as our listeners will. But Richard, before we get into that, since we're going to be doing this, if I'm not mistaken, you are a literature professor. You've got a couple of master's degrees, one in American Lit and one in film. You know, I mean, that shows that you're bright. There's no question about that. But why the mining industry?
Well, let me correct you there. I have a dual master's in American literature and creative writing.
Okay.
I just wandered into teaching film because it was an interest of mine. I think the easiest thing to say is that after teaching American literature and film for 18 years, my specialty was 19th century American literature and brilliant writers and whatnot, but they're all well dead and not producing anything new. And after 18 years, everything got a little repetitive. And so we have a very good family friend who's a senior vice president for Raymond James. And in the early 90s, he kind of took me under his arm and under his wing and gave me some of the basics on market analysis and whatnot. And I've had a lot of time to pursue it and got interested that way. And what I found out was that being a generalist, I'm an avid reader. I mean, everybody that works for us together with us are big readers. We started spotting trends. And I retired from teaching in April of 2001, and we took a significant vacation. We went out and drove around Australia, mostly out in Western Australia, for 18 months and had a great time. The Kimberley, looking at rock art, and especially the Bradshaw rock art, but don't get me started there, and the Pilbara, and it spent a lot of time in Exmouth on the Ningaloo Reef, just doing great stuff. I got interested in mining because it's all over the place out there, and I have had an interest in it before because with the lunacy associated with the technology and internet bubble, it was fairly obvious to us that there was going to be a backlash into commodities. They've been, you know, the down cycle in commodities was at an end when the paper assets went berserk, and we started getting into that, and it just one thing led to another. Essentially, in 2004, early 2005, my wife told me to get out of the house and get a job, and I got in contact with the folks who run Williams Inference Center, which is, again, these are generalists. They're people who do and pick up on trends, which is what I was doing. And we started collaborating a bit and started this website. And we don't do a regular news. We do is we release what we call long-term trends, which we think are all going to run in excess of a decade. And it just works out kind of by accident that all of the long-term trends had to do with the fact that there had been such an emphasis on paper assets for so long that the commodities and hard assets had been completely overlooked. And so starting in 2005, we started releasing these reports, and they grew and changed and evolved in response to what our clients told us they wanted. But we wrote originally on coal and how, you know, we didn't see coal going away. Anybody who thought coal was going away in 2005 was kind of had green on the brain. Then we wrote about gold. We released our gold report because Alan Greenspan, the catalyst for that was Alan Greenspan, discontinued releasing M3 figures because he was trying to save us money, which kind of rang some alarm bells with us. And at the same time, the Rothschilds stopped doing the London morning fix in our office after 150 years because there's no profit in gold. And we said, okay, we don't buy that. Everybody buy gold. That's a good idea. You know, think of savings, buy gold. And it just progressed from there. We went through to water infrastructure and the simple equation that water equals food. And then we looked at nuclear energy and then silver. The American electrical grid, material science, scrap metals, and especially specialty metals, which leads us to where we are down here, and then transportation fuels and natural gas. Those are the nine reports we've released, and you can read them, get truncated versions of them on our website if you care to. But the underlying thing through here is in learning about all of these trends, you can't just write about them if you don't have a good feel for what you're writing about. And so I contact people and hire specialists as needed to be able to take a tremendous amount of information and put it into a format that people can read.
Okay, Richard. No, I'm curious about one thing. You guys have a very, very intriguing service. I mean, how many people read this stuff?
5,000 to 6,000. It's hard to say between the people who are on our emailing list and how many we don't do any advertising. What we do is we put out truncated versions of our reports onto various websites like Fuller Money in Europe or the Market Oracle in Europe or in the United States, 321 Gold, 321 Energy, Financial Sense Online, Kitco, people like that.
Yeah.
And they, readers, our clients come to us from that.
Yeah, we have a tremendous listenership. Same deal from between Kitco and 321 and the Gold Report and the rest of them. Yeah, we have a lot of our listeners, you know, who go to those sites to listen to our program. Well, okay, so we know a little bit more about Richard Karn right now. We know you're a very interesting guy. We know you're a very bright guy. We know you're a guy that has a real passion for the mining industry, okay? In 2 minutes, if you would, just give our listeners a preview of what they can learn from this segment that we'll be doing on the show here for the next few weeks or months. Your travels in Australia, you're on.
Okay, well, when we looked into what's going on here, the result of the global financial crisis is that it really hasn't affected the big miners. I mean, you can Google anybody, any big miner anywhere in the world, and they're covered great. You know, the BHPs, the Rios, the Fortescues, the Woodsides, all these Australian base and energy miners and producers are very well covered. But the global financial crisis really hit the small guys who are producing the precious and specialty metals that we're very interested in. And we've identified more than 40 of these metals. So everything from antimony, cobalt, germanium, hafnium, you can go through the list. The platinum group metals, rare earths, rhenium, scandium, tantalum, vanadium, zircon. Go through the whole list. They're all under supply threat.
Mm-hmm.
And Australia has, we identified 42 metals, not including gold, that we find are under one of six different varieties of threat to supply. And Australia is producing now or will produce 36 of these metals within the next 3 years. So we thought, okay, well, this is the opportunity. This is where everything is going, because whether you're talking about just plain old information technology or green technology or high-end, high technology, it's all dependent upon these very special properties of these specialty metals. And so we don't invest or recommend investing anywhere outside of North America or Australia, because we're utterly convinced that nationalization and mercantilist risk are going to increase, as it has historically been borne out with every economic crisis. There's always socioeconomic upheaval and an increase in nationalism and mercantilism. And we've been worried about this for years. We've been very public about it. So that's why we limit our horizon here. And we're down here now looking at small listed companies in these precious and specialty metals that stand to do very, very well going forward.
We're going to be hearing about those companies. We're out of time in this segment, Richard, but to get more information on what Richard is doing in Australia, to get more information on the Emerging Trends Report, we've got a banner on the homepage of our website.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Shanky, Food's Drag. We have stopped taking orders for the Buy 3, Get 1 Free program and have started production. Congratulations. Your choice to participate in the production of your food supply by pre-ordering will prove very wise. Shipments will begin the end of March and will be sent in the order that they were received. Now something fun. It's springtime. We all know that garden seeds aren't really a food supply, but they're a great supplement to your food reserve if you have the time and place to garden. Here's the plan. When you add a 1-month superfood spring pack to your food storage, we'll send you that garden of non-hybrid seeds absolutely free. Order now while the free seeds last. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Get a real supply of food to eat while you wait for your supplemental garden to grow. Call 800-409-5633, efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Chatting right now with Vicki Fulp, the mercenary geologist. For a while here, we're going to be doing some educational segments with the Mick. We're going to be talking about his investment philosophy. I want to stress his investment philosophy doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing to do. This should not be construed as registered investment advice. We're just talking about what Vicki Fulp does. Okay. On the last week's show, we chatted about kind of an introduction to what Mick was talking about. On this show, we're going to talk about the 3 criteria that Mickey uses for the evaluation of junior resource companies. And these are share structure, people, and projects. Mick, what's the purpose of this evaluation methodology in your mind?
Well, there's 1,750 juniors, so that's way too many to start with. Some of them belong and most of them don't. So my methodology is to eliminate as many companies from consideration as quickly as possible. And we find those that meet the specific criteria, and those are share structure, people, and projects. We get a little redundant about that, but I've got to continue to emphasize that. And then the final cut is to choose those that are currently undervalued.
Okay, let's talk first about, your first consideration. What is that?
Well, as a geologist, and more specifically an economic geologist, I look at the projects. And generally, I'm specifically looking at the flagship project, unless, with one caveat, the company is a prospect generator. But we're looking for favorable commodities. We're looking for specific deposit types in geologically permissible areas of the planet and with acceptable geopolitical risk. And finally, the final cut on that, I always want to look at a project that has a chance to become a profitable mine.
You know, and the one thing I have to say about Mickey here is that it is, I go to Mick a lot for opinions on companies because there are a lot of very savvy people out there, but when it comes to analyzing an asset specifically, and the asset, not the not necessarily the people, et cetera, but when you're talking about the project, got a guy here who's got a master's degree, graduated with honors in geology, so he does know how to evaluate projects. Mick, what's the second criteria?
Well, the second one I look at, and again, this is with the idea that we want to eliminate as many companies as quickly as possible. So the next cut is share structure. So there must be a relatively low number of shares with respect to the company's progress. The other thing is we want to make sure that those shares are tightly held by management, insiders, and family and friends. Some people call that closely held, tightly held, et cetera, in friendly hands, let's put it that way. We want to look at the institutions that own the shares. In that regard, you want a mix of institutions. A significant institutional position is, in my mind, favorable, but not in the hands of one institution because then they have too much say in the progress of the company, and a healthy public float because the retail public float, what you and I represent as retail investors, is where liquidity comes in. Then you look at the warrants. Warrants that are in the money can put a cap on a share price. The options that the insiders and consultants have. In particular, I look at insider remuneration, pardon me, because you want to make sure that they're not rewarding their themselves with fees and management fees and options, et cetera, at the expense of shareholders. Finally, look at the market cap, and also very important is the current working capital.
Working capital is important. You know, I learned a very valuable lesson when I first started investing in these companies 30 years ago, and I learned it from a guy who has an interesting reputation, to say the least, in the business. He's no longer in the business, but a guy named Ted Slanker, back in the late 70s and very, very early 1980s, had a firm in Portland, Oregon, that specialized in investing in junior resource companies. You know, and I spent some time talking to the guy. I was a total rank beginner at the time in this industry. And, you know, Ted stressed over and over and over again, you know, share structure is absolutely critical. And I'll tell you, I've been relatively successful in this industry, and it's in my opinion, share structure is very, very important. In terms of looking at an asset, judging an asset, I have to leave that to people like my colleague Mickey Fulp. Okay, Mick. Basically, then people are the last thing in your evaluation. You know, a lot of people say that people are the most important factor in a junior resource company, and I think people are very, very important. What do you think?
Well, I would not disagree with that. However, I look at the management and the insiders last in my evaluation because the other two factors must be exactly right before I will even consider the people who are involved. But you want to look at the management and the technical teams. They are both crucial in this. They must have track records in the junior resource sector. And not only must they have track records, but they need to have successful track records and not failures. And we also want to look at the fact that they reward their shareholders in the past. So when I say success, I mean that all the shareholders benefited from their previous company experiences, and not just the insiders and their cronies, which so often happens in this business. And finally, I take a close look at insider trading, the history of insider trading of these people, because I want to make sure that they're not selling into positive news, or they're not buying in front of positive news, et cetera.
You know, I think those are very, very important criteria. I don't think they are. I know they are. I just want to throw you one curve real quick, Mick, and that is when you look at an asset, okay, how much credence, 100% or 0%, can you put into a stated resource or reserve by a company if it's 43-101, Canadian Instrument 43-101 compliant? Is there any way that a company can, for lack of better terms, not tell the truth using that particular criteria?
Oh, most definitely. You know, a lot of these, 90% of these inferred resources will never make it to measured and in indicated resources, let alone reserves. So that whole thing is fraught with difficulty, and that's the subject of an entire another show, which we will do in the future on resources and reserves. Finally, I also take a look at the website, make sure it's up to date. Is the technical information provided, and is it complete? So that's the main criteria for eliminating as many juniors as possible, and then we look at whether it's undervalued or not.
Mick, I've got about 10 to 15 companies in my family's portfolio, that portion of our portfolio that consists of junior resource stocks. How about you?
Well, I generally hold 15 to 20. I like where the market's been over the last year, so I'm up to 25. And then I'm also probably have another 15 or 20 on my radar screen that I follow in somewhat of a detailed fashion. Only about 2% of the listed companies, therefore, meet my criteria for investment. I probably know something about another 200 or more, but in this game, you need to spread your risk, but you can't get too many companies. Having 40 or 50 or 80 or 100 companies in your portfolio or in your newsletter, in my mind, is way too many to keep up with. So my methodology basically is to eliminate as many as I can and really go for the really good companies that I'm convinced can double in 12 months or less.
Mick, I have to tell you, you know, there are some newsletter writers out there who follow, you know, in excess of 50 companies and claim that they're on top of all of those companies. I got to tell you, man, that is an utter impossibility. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, Al. You've got to cut your numbers down and go for the gusto.
No question about it. Mickey, real quick, got about 20 seconds left here. I'd like to talk next week about projects, et cetera. What do you have in mind?
Well, we're going to talk about juniors and metals and projects, another chapter in my upcoming book called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it's a discussion of what we alluded to today.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
As the U.S. and the world slip slowly into economic and financial gridlock, some economists predict a global financial meltdown and economic collapse worse than we have ever seen. Don't wait for the edicts to start coming out of Washington, D.C. before you begin to fill your pantry. Prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now. Ready Reserve Food has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for nearly 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish, with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Many companies do not even offer a catalog, but we will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us to prepare for financial and economic Armageddon now at 800-453-2202 for your free catalog now.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit freetoprosper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit freetoprosper.com today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. Big Al is here to wrap up the show with a gentleman by the name of Bruce Braganolo. Bruce is the president of a company called Timmins Gold. Timmins is an interesting firm that I have been following for quite some time now. When I began following Timmins, they were in the, I would have to say, advanced development stage. Let me just back up a little bit. Advanced development slash exploration stage. Now, today, about 2 years later, they are in full production. They went into full production on April 1st of 2010. Rather than talk about the company, though, I want to talk a little bit about the mining industry and get Bruce's perspective on that and why he has such a passion for it. Bruce, number one, thanks for taking some time and joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hi, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm about ready to go out and play 18 holes of golf. So I'd like to start out a little bit. You grew up in a mining town in Canada, Timmins, Ontario. I'm assuming that as a young person, you probably were involved to some extent in the mining industry. Am I correct?
Well, everybody in Timmins is involved in the mining industry. You know, people actually worked in mines up in Timmins. There's headframes everywhere. There's a real romance to the mining industry there. There's been some big finds. You know, a lot of people in Toronto made a lot of money on the mines of northern Ontario, including Kirkland Lake, Timmins, and also northern Quebec. So Timmins is an area where you're constantly exposed to mining. It's something that's almost in your blood. You know, it's an industry that you can see the value of all around you.
You know, I get a bang, talking about the value all around you, I get a bang out of people who are negative on the mining industry for one reason or another. It's typically people who know nothing about it. I've been involved in the industry for about 30 years now, doing securities work for mining companies, interfacing between mining companies and the Securities and Exchange Commission down here in the United States. And every time I talk with somebody who is critical of the mining industry, I have to remind them, you know, you wouldn't have the articles that you have today, the necessities that you have today, if it weren't for the mining industry.
Yeah, let's face it, there's a lot of mining that doesn't relate to precious metals. But what's happened here, Al, is there's a whole generation of people that have bypassed mining because it wasn't in vogue. When you're making lots of money on real estate and internet stocks or tech stocks, as the bulk of the investors in the United States have, then you don't have to worry about mining. But when you see currency issues, when you see sovereign debt issues, when you see a devaluation of other assets, then certainly precious metals becomes a much more viable investment alternative than it might have been in the last few years. And it's when you see the cracks in the financial system like you're seeing right now that people start to turn to precious metals.
Bruce, you're a Canadian, but you travel all around the world. You know, when you make the comment, when you see the cracks in the financial system, I'm assuming that you're referring to the cracks in the financial system on an international level, whether you're talking about what's going on in my country, whether you're talking about what's going on in Greece or what have you. I would have to say that the movement away from an asset-based currency, which is synonymous with saying the movement away from precious metals in an economy, is what brought all of this about. I hate to be simplistic, but I think that's the truth.
Well, there's been a massive amount of money printing going on without any regard for what's backing up the paper money. In a time when there is endless printing of money on a worldwide basis, I'm not just referring to the United States, it seems that people do want to return to something that's a little more tangible.
Well, I mean, one would think so. But, you know, Jay Taylor made an interesting comment to me a number of years ago. He said that he learned from one of his college professors when he was an undergraduate. He said the professor drew an analogy between a lower level of morality in a society. The lower the level, the less dependent that society was on an asset-based currency. You know, at first I kind of had to scratch my head and say, I'm not sure I see the correlation. But, you know, as I thought more and more about it, I began to realize there is a total lack of responsibility, in my opinion, on the part of a society when they don't have an asset-based currency, when they can simply print as much money as they want with no regard for any backing. That, to me, is nonsensical.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if I would call. I'm not necessarily sure that morals and monetary responsibility go together. I guess they might in some senses, but certainly fiscal discipline has to be imposed on the governments of the world and maybe a lot of individuals as well before we can return to you know a financial system that works. It strikes me right now that you know people are the general population is starting to become more aware that the governments aren't looking after them and a return to fiscal responsibility and a discipline imposed by the gold standard, which may or may not be feasible, I don't know, but certainly people want to see some type of fiscal responsibility and some discipline amongst the central bankers and the governments.
Do you see the pendulum swinging back in that direction, Bruce? Just your thoughts on that. And I know that they're not official, they're just your personal thoughts.
I think there's too much political will against returning to a gold standard. I'm not sure if the governments will allow that because it'll stop them from playing the games that they're playing. However, I do think that there has to be some sort of system imposed that just stops the creation of financial instruments and the theft of real wealth and the replacement of real wealth with a paper wealth that you know is devalued on a constant basis. It strikes me what's happened in the United States in particular is that the economy was doing very well to a certain point, and then because the regulators and the governments didn't want to take their lumps, and this is back in the 1970s, 1930s, 1970s, they went away from a gold standard, and they delayed the inevitable, but they can't delay it any longer.
No, I would agree 100%. I simply don't think they can delay it any longer. I think something has to be, well, something will happen because something has to happen. It's just, you know, numbers are numbers. One and one is two. Basically, you know, one action plus another action is going to equal a third action. And the third action in this country is going to have to be, and around the world, quite frankly, is going to have to be a bit of a tightening, a bit of a redo, for lack of better terms, of the various economies. Bruce, let's get back to the mining industry. I'd like you to summarize for me, if you would, what people mean when they say society could not have evolved materially to the point that they are today were it not for the mining industry. How do you interpret that statement in practical terms?
Well, in practical terms, if you want to go back to sticks and stones, then you don't need mining. But anything beyond that, where you need metals, then you have to have some mining activity. Even for coal, you have to have mining activity. So yeah, I mean, mining has been around for countless millennia, and if you want to extract metals or other products from the earth, you have to have mining.
You have to have mining, you know, and it's not only extracting metals from the earth for hard, you know, tangible items, but it's also extracting minerals from the earth in order to have efficient and productive agriculture. I mean, where does potash come from? You know, it's potash is mined, and potash is absolutely necessary for the agricultural industry. You know, and I think that's one of the reasons that I get a kick out of it, kick out of people, for example, like the reporter in the New York Times about 5 years ago when he authored a three-issue, three-issue series on the pitfalls and the negative aspects of the mining industry. I mean, I think it's very, very unfair for someone to do that without actually doing their research. Many countries in the world, for example, the San Francisco mine, which is owned by Timmins Gold, your company, is located in Mexico. Mexico happens to be very, very pro-mining, and the mining industry has done nothing but good things for Mexico in terms of supporting the schools, supporting the societies in the environs where they work, providing revenues for both individuals and for governments. I mean, it's been very, very beneficial, as it has been in the United States, correct?
Well, it depends, you know, where you are and how close you are to a population base. I mean, part of the reason that the environmental regulations these days are as stringent as they are is because of the abuses of the past. Certainly, we take great care in protecting the environment. We're hopefully a good citizen. We certainly strive to be a good environmental steward, it would really be a damaging event for the company to have any environmental issues. So we're very cautious. We constantly monitor the environment that we're working in, and as a guy who grew up in a mining town, you certainly want to make sure that things are carried out on a proper and environmentally friendly basis.
Of course you do. Been chatting with Bruce Braganola. Bruce is the Chief Executive Officer of Timmins Gold Corp. Timmins Gold Corp. is a full production company that is located in Mexico.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.